So I trust that as we look at your word this morning, continue your work, God, in us. Please continue your work. I know you're always active. But as Marcello, through the words of the songs that he's chosen, suggests, let's just submit ourselves, surrender ourselves, give ourselves to your movement in our lives. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Marcello and Melissa just came back from a
conference, right?
Just traveled back, and we are, because of that, blessed. And this is a sacrifice, by the way, when they go to these conferences. They go and they pay to go. And their heart is to learn to worship God and to lead us in worship and to discover more about God. And it's transforming stuff that happens, right, Melissa? It is. There's something about singing and praising together, worshiping together, that opens up the doors, sets us free. And there's moments where we can experience God and be transformed. My question is, what do we do after that? How do we leave this place? What's that look like when we step out the door? Don't let it be a fleeting moment. Actually, lean in a bit. Discover what that was about. And ask God to continue the work, as Philippians says, that he started, that he promises to complete. Ask him to do that. All right. Thanks, Andrea. I love this red keyboard. No, I won't do that. I can see that look.
Don't break it.
Yeah. All right. On a real light note, Super Bowl Sunday. After all that worship and all that debunk, that's what I have to say, right? Well, okay. The reason I said that is because we are talking about the body. And you heard that passage. It's kind of a fun passage to play with. I liked what you emphasized, Greg. That was awesome. It was God's choice, right? He chose each one of us, designed us the way we are, and fit us in a body, both in this church and universal-wise also. Like, it's pretty exciting. And we don't always recognize that. Ask God to open your eyes to that. Just kind of get that picture sometimes. At any rate, on Super Bowl Sunday, we often talk about, at least I do, I think Greg does sometimes too, about a football game. You may not, but a lot of people do. And it seems really insignificant in the light of some of the things we've been talking about today. But what I find kind of interesting about it is any team that is involved in a sport that is a team requires work that has to be done together. And one of these guys or girls, whoever they happen to be, submitting to each other for the greater good of winning the game. And the team that can do it the best usually is the one that ends up on top. Significant, isn't it? It's kind of interesting because that's in fact what God has called us to do as well. Except as we do it, then something really awesome happens. We're empowered by the Holy Spirit and we put Christ as head and he leads us and gives us the ability to actually move mountains, to have the potential to change the world for Christ, with Christ. So that's the significance of that. Now what I wanted to do just as we start, I've got so much I want to do this morning, and I'm out of time, and I'm kind of happy about that, so that'll make me blitz through real quick here. This passage that I'm going to look at, of course, is from Corinthians, and Paul was writing to a group in Corinth, and so what I wanted to do was read for you something really quick here from my phone, and it's actually a quote from Kay Arthur. If you've ever heard her, she's done some really good work in teaching people, discipling people, and I'll try and go through it here quickly. It talks about Corinth, the city. I think it's always kind of interesting to know who the letters were written to, which helps us understand a little bit what he was saying and perhaps what he was saying to us as well. So here's what she said. The Corinthians were intrigued by Greek philosophy, not unlike us. We like to learn more and more and more. And they were captivated by the discipline, training and athletic events that were held at the Isthmus. They called the Isthmian Games. I can't even say that without lisping. And at one time, the city was home of at least 12 pagan temples, so they really got along well with worshiping other things other than God. The people desperately needed to hear the good news, obviously, of Jesus Christ and the one crucified for them, for sinners. The worship ceremonies carried out by 1,000 temple prostitutes connected with the temple of Aphrodite, the goddess of love, and bred blatant immorality throughout Corinth. Prostitutes openly plied their wares, and the meat markets thrived on sales from the sacrifices offered in these temples. The Corinthians ate well, they satisfied their sexual urges without condemnation, and they flirted with the wisdom of men, and they did all they could to keep their bodies as beautiful as those of the Greek gods. It says they loved to listen to great orators, for 250,000 citizens were in this city. None of those were slaves, but significantly, there were almost two slaves per person, which made the city more like 700,000. And what did Corinth need? They needed freedom. What they really needed was freedom from sin, freedom from the trap that they were in. Because the more they reached for what they thought was good, they discovered it was just a trap that kept them from being free in Christ. Does that ring any bells to you? If it doesn't, it should. Because that's us. That's who we are. It may not look exactly the same, but it's definitely us. We're very self-centered. We like to be comfortable. And the sins that we commit are kind of interesting because in Corinth, at least everybody could see it. And I think you know what I'm talking about. In our time, we can hide it. We can do it anywhere. It's a tragedy. And we're trapped. There's a scripture that was written in Hebrews that said, we should get together like this more often. As a matter of fact, we should do it more and more as we see the day of Christ coming. What's that dialect I'm getting into there, Aaron? I don't know. See it a coming. But there was something significant about coming together as a group and as a body that would set us up to somehow then become the body of Christ with him as the head. And through that, we would be transformed, made new. I've had this sort of mantra, this phrase that I've said fairly often, Pastor Kyle and I, and she reminded me this week again, don't do it alone. Don't do it alone. And God's told me that so many times in ministry because I am the king of doing it alone. I am totally the Lone Ranger. I'll tell you, I am. And part of it is because I don't plan well enough, so nobody else can join me, so I just have to do it, right? You end up, oh, it's just going to be me, I guess. But there's no excuse for that. We must not do it alone. We need to come together. So I'm preaching to the choir here, because you guys are all here. So it's awesome to have you here with us, and to have you worshiping God. Let me tell you, you're doing the right thing. You're coming in a place where you can join together and worship. Did we have great worship this morning in song? Oh, Marcello, thanks so much. And team, thank you. That's a lot of effort to do that, and that's depending on God. That's submitting. That's being willing to put yourself second so that you can lead someone, lead some people, and you can enter into a relationship with Christ and do something that's pleasing to God. This is what he's talking about when he was talking about the body. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 12, and I'm going to read 1 Corinthians 12 from the beginning, because that might be kind of interesting. Okay, 1 Corinthians 12, 1 says, now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters. By the way, now when I'm reading this, don't say, let's figure out what the gifts are. That's not the point. Okay, so get that in your head, first of all. We're not trying to determine what is or is not the gifts. We've had that debate enough. For those of you who, I know, if you don't know Jesus and you're sort of new to the church, this don't mean much to you, but if you've been entrenched in the church for many years, this might mean something to you. Let that go just for a moment. Just read it for face value. So, now, about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray by mute idols. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Keep that in mind, by the Holy Spirit. That's how we're able to do it. We can't even do, isn't that interesting? We can't even do that without the power of God in our lives. So don't get all caught up about who you are and what I am, but let Christ be your head. There are different kinds of gifts, so let's just look at them a little bit, but the same Spirit distributes them. The Spirit distributes them. The Holy Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord, the very same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. We're constantly being focused back to God. So forget about the gifts, what they happen to be or not be. Just think about the fact that God is the center. Christ is our head. The Holy Spirit is the one that empowers us. Now, in verse 7, it says, now to each one of the manifestations of the Spirit, it is given for the common good. Oh, it's for the body. I maybe forgot that. I was feeling pretty good about that gift I have. And I'm kind of enjoying it. Well, so it's for the body and for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. And to another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing. And by that one Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Do you get the point? Paul's just, in the end, we get caught up in all those gifts, right? We're like, well, do I have the gift of healing? Do I have the gift of wisdom? I don't know. But have you invited Christ to be the head of your life and the Holy Spirit to empower you so that you might do something for the good of the body and to God's glory, to Christ's glory? There's the question to ask. That's the one. And I'm just as bad as anybody with this. I do it all the time. I feel so good about what I can do, even though I don't say that. And even in my humility, I'm proud of that. So it's a real challenge. So anyhow, to another, miraculous powers, to another, prophecy, to another, distinguishing between spirits, to another, speaking in different kinds of tongues, and still to another, the interpretation of those tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one, right, just as he determines, just like we said with the parts of the body. So we're empowered by the Holy Spirit. We desire to be empowered by the Holy Spirit, right? We desire that, and we desire to be Christ-centered. I think I remember that somewhere. Is that our vision statement? I think something like that, yeah. And the Alliance also has a very similar one, almost the same. That's our desire. Is that your desire? So then it goes on to talk about the body parts. Now, what I want to do, I'll take it off, Andrea, just a minute here. But I just want you to think about two things, roadblocks and roadway. All right? So there are many roadblocks to experiencing unity in a body and expressing or visually showing the body of Christ. There are many roadblocks. But there's only one way, one roadway, and that is by putting Christ at the head and submitting to him and being empowered by his Holy Spirit to go. That's the way. But unfortunately, there's many roadblocks. As you read through this part of the unity and diversity in the body, if that's your title in your Bible, that's what it says in mine. It talks about all these different parts of the body. A lot of people have played with it a little bit, you know, like, okay, are you the nose? And then all you do is smell. And if you're just the nose part of the body, then how are you going to make out without the eyes or even the hands to grab something that smells? Or if you're the feet, yeah, it's great, you can move, but how are you going to pick it up? Well, maybe you're good with your toes, I don't know. And they talk, and if you're the thumb, we can all be churches of the thumb. We can gather all the thumbs together. Thumbs up for Jesus. And so you get, or how about this? Thumbs aren't going so well. We need the hand too because we can't really pick things up. So we're now the hand, the church of the hand, because we can grab things. We're a service church. We can do that, but we don't need the rest of the part of the body. We don't need that. I know it sounds ludicrous and crazy, and yet put it in the context of actually the things we do and say and the way we approach the body. And then think about what Christ has said. Put me as the head, which basically means that you're willing to surrender and you're willing to put aside everything that you thought was great in order to follow him. I don't know if you know, not long ago I read through Philippians, and one part of Philippians says that I strive on to reach that one goal, one thing I do, and that is to be like Christ and fulfill the calling that he has for me in my life. As a matter of fact, the stuff that's holding me back, I consider garbage. That's the challenge to us. So as we come into this body, that's what we want to do, strive to allow Christ to be the head so that then we can form the body. If we strive to be the head, it's going to be a mess. And there's going to be a lot of conflict. There's going to be many, many roadblocks. And they'll all be centered basically in us and what we want, what we think is right, rather than what Christ wants. There are a lot of scriptures that can really relate to this, and they're the basic ones But I think what you'll see is, in most every teaching that we go into, that the basic ones apply. So if we're going to be a body that functions well together, we're going to have to learn to love one another. So we fall under the basic command, and that is love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love one another as you'd have that one love you. So we have to do that. We have to figure out how to love one another. It goes a little bit farther. It talks about, in Philippians 3:2, about actually putting another person ahead of us so that we're behind. That's a little bit harder. And it goes even a little bit harder. I believe it's Matthew 16, where it talks about you have to actually love your enemy. And so that's even a little bit harder. That's kind of the litmus test, right? If we're able to love the one who's we don't like and maybe bitterly don't like. We have to be able to love that person. And so that requires submission in order to do that. And we as a body are going to have to do that as well. I know that our church, as we've gone forward since Pastor Kyle and I have, you graciously chose us to be pastors of your church, there's been a lot of changes. It makes it challenging sometimes. And as you go through changes, then you have to learn, am I willing to put others first, even in the midst of that? Am I willing to put Christ as my head and figure out how to work through these changes? You see, I think what happens is there are roadblocks to all sorts of unity, but they come in mysterious and deceiving, almost deceptive ways. And we're off track before we know it. And usually it's really small things, but then we get hooked into it. And the problem is we have a guy called Satan who's the father of lies, and his desire is to disrupt anything he can that might be God-honoring and God-worthy. And so he gets his clutches into whatever it is that we happen to have grabbed onto, and he magnifies it. It makes it worse and worse and worse and bigger and bigger and bigger. And so this morning I'm calling each one of us, myself, to surrender. That's what I'm doing. It's pretty simple, and yet it's so hard. The cross represents something amazing, doesn't it? Did you know that Jesus said to his disciples that I'm calling you actually to take up the cross and to follow me? And of course, the cross represented death, right? So in fact, he's asking them to die to themselves, which kind of reminds me of something that we do in our church, and that is baptism, where we symbolically, at one point in our Christian walk, if you haven't done this already, I would suggest you consider it. As a Christian, we come up and we publicly show to people that we have died to ourselves and we're alive to Christ. And Christ is my head. Christ is in charge. I mean, he's in charge of my family. He's in charge of my work. He's in charge of all the relationships I have. He's in charge of where I go today. Know that? He's in charge of what I do, where I am. Like, how am I going to act? He's in charge of that. I want to give it to him. I want to submit to him. I want to take up my cross and follow him. And there's this one quote I've heard recently, and it says, we're not called to comfort. We're called to kingdom. And don't get it wrong. There is a difference between being comforted by Christ and be comforted by the body and being comfortable and longing for comfort and only wanting to walk in comfort. That's a lie if you're doing that. That is from the pit. We are called to kingdom. And it's not easy. It's dying to self, surrendering, and then walking in Christ and discovering that something happens. We actually become Christ's body. It says that in the scriptures. We become Christ's body as we put him as the head and we join together. And what we could do anything at that point in Christ, to reach people for Christ. And that's what we want to do. But unfortunately, Satan has taken advantage of all the things that have distracted us, pulled left, right, and back, all over the place, and he's magnified them, and we're not doing it. But we got to do it. So let's just surrender. If you need to do that this morning, come up and do that. Surrender to Christ. I think a lot of you are doing that even as we're worshiping. God works that way. His Holy Spirit just meets you. What was he talking to you about? What was he laying on your heart this morning? Get it right, please. Let's do it. It's not that bad. Don't do it alone. Let us be a part of it. Let's join you with it. You ever heard that? I'm going to flash back to the 80s. I'm wearing the shirt of the 80s. I'm an 80s child. Well, not 80s child, but I was 80s my time, right? I was thinking of songs from the 80s. So I was even thinking of Humble Thyself. You ever heard that song? Humble thyself in the sight of the Lord. Humble thyself in the sight of the Lord. And he will lift you up higher and higher, and he will lift you up. You'd say, what was that? That was a song we used to sing, you know, and a lot of us would sing it. We'd get into it. We'd sing it in harmony like this happened there. And it was a moment of worship. It was a moment of giving to God. But then I can also think about that, and I can think, oh boy, did we ever sound good when we sang that? That was the perfect song for me. My voice fit perfectly. I could do harmony, and he will lift me up. And I was pretty excited, and then I left the fire, and we went out and did something. But you know what? I can mess that up too. And I don't want you to be paranoid and go nuts and think, well, what can I do? I don't do anything right. But what I do want you to do is submit to Christ. Give it to him. I don't care what your voice sounds like. I want to know what your heart's like. I don't know where you're walking, why you're walking, who you're walking with. Because as you submit to Christ, you are empowered by the Holy Spirit, and then he will ignite the gifts within us. He will ignite the gifts within us. He will set us free to be the church he's called us to be. That's pretty exciting, right? This is what we're talking about. That's what Romans was all about. That's why he wrote the letter to a church that was in a city that was like the pit of hell. And so are we. And yet, the light of Christ shines, and it is made new every day. New every morning. New every morning. We can walk in that. Submit to Christ. It's not a lie. It's the truth. You're saying, I tried that. No, submit to Christ. It's not a lie. It's the truth. Put him as the head. That's how it works. I don't care if you're the foot, the hand, whatever. And you're saying, well, that's fine, Rob, because you're just going blah, 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 because you're the voice. You're the mouth. I have to listen to you all the time. Well, listen to me. Be careful what you wish for, first of all. Careful what you wish for. And secondly, please pray for me. Pray for Pastor Kyle. Pray for the leadership team and the nominees that we're going to be posting soon. Stop getting all up in knots about everything. God has designed this church in a certain way, and certain people are privileged to do some things maybe that seem a little bit more up front. But honestly, if we're not submitted to Christ as the head and walking with him, allowing him to be the one, we're messed anyhow. So you need to just pray about that and submit it to God. Surrender, please, if you're having some trouble with that. And I know that may sound harsh coming from the guy who's talking, but I'm forced to surrender all the time. I am brought to my knees all the time. Now, I'm done this morning, by the way. That's it. We're finished. That's where we're going. Now, Marcello, where are you? Oh, come on with me. Marcello and I are going to take 2 minutes each, and we're just going to say something that Christ has done in our life recently. I'm going to share it really quickly with you, and you know, the reason we're going to do this is simply because this is how the body works. And come on, let's do this. You guys need to testify to what Christ is doing. So one Sunday ago, I woke up at 3 in the morning. Was it, Patty? I don't know. Was it one Sunday or two? Anyhow, it was early in the morning, and I'm just flailing away. I always have these dreams where I'm either running from somebody or beating them up. But the thing is, it's not really that I'm beating them up. They're beating me up. I know. Yeah, you can test me out later and pray for me, whatever. But yeah, I have this thing. My dad has a similar thing. I got to tell him how to be free from it. But anyhow, I woke up with this, and I'm telling you, it was amazing. There was this red being that I was fighting, and my inner ninja was coming out, and I was like anticipating every move, and it was just kicking, right? No one's really getting hit. We're just going foot to foot. I'm like, whoo, 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 and I'm stopping all these kicks, right? And then Patty, all of a sudden, like, I'm kicking so hard, right? I'm shaking the whole bed. Everything's going nuts. Fortunately, I'm facing away from Patty this time. She's not getting hurt. And no one got hurt in this scene. And so I'm kicking away. I said, Rob, wake up. I'm like, no, I'm not done yet. Inner ninja, right? And so this is the story, Stephen. I was going to tell you the story. So here we are, face to face, you and me. Just forget these guys. And so I say, okay, I got to wake up. And yes, Patty, what's going on? And then immediately, as I woke up, Christ was like, he said to me, pray, Rob. And so I prayed and I gave it to him. And right then, it's just like the beam disappeared, and I had this feeling of, wow. It was, I could humble myself and just say, yeah, I'm saying that. Whoa, Jesus just set me free. And I had been sort of in a stupor for a while. And I felt this, oh, it's done. But then right after that also, God said to me, and I'm letting you talk now, but God said to me, Rob, as you and this church body goes forward, you will be able in the spirit to anticipate all of the attacks of Satan, even before they happen. You'll be able to fight them if you're in me. But you think you can do it yourself, because I was feeling the inner ninja, right? But when I pulled back and I prayed and God took care of me, he said, I'm doing it, not you. It's not all your strength and your kicking. Pretty fancy, Rob. I will do it. Submit to the Holy Spirit and he will set our gifts free. He will put him as head and he will allow us to fall in and become the body parts we need to be. Share, please. And then lead in song.
Rob just asked me today, because I actually have an experience with Rob about an experience I just had recently when we were putting forth, it's a big conference, Canada-wide national conference in Edmonton, and Melissa and I went there. It's a great weekend focused on learning about Christ and learning about worship and just being one together as one body, just like Rob's been talking about today. And there were some great teaching times, and it was a really transformative time, which I think it should be when you're at these places. But it's one of those things that you don't know that you're being transformed until something happens sometimes. You know, and I was going through all these sessions thinking, oh, this is great, I'm learning a lot, I can go and apply things. And we got to the last Sunday, the last main session, where it always starts off with worship time, and then there's teaching time, and then worship time again. So we got up there, and I walked in, and I'm standing next to Melissa, and they said, okay, let's get up and worship. And we got up, and I said, okay, I'm ready to worship. Let's finish this conference with a bang. The band started. I got two words in, and I got just broken. I started crying. I couldn't get two words out of my mouth. God said, like, get down on your knees, lift your hands to me, give me your all. It was one of those moments where God just said, you know what, look, I know that you have given me a lot. You've opened your heart, you said, hey, God, lead me. Lead me to where you want me to go. You've given me a lot, but you know what, you haven't given it to all of me. And I need your all. I want to do great things through you. Let my spirit flow through you so you can do great things for me in my name. But to do that, you need to give me your all. You need to get out of the way. Forget all the other stuff that's going through your heads. Forget the conflicts that you have because, you know, I walk up to somebody and they say, hey, you know what? I wasn't a great fan of music this morning. You know, or I couldn't hear the bass, or I couldn't hear the guitar. Or even me kicking myself going, you know what? I played the whole first half of this service this morning and my guitar pack was off because I forgot to turn it on. But there are little things that just get in the way. God says, get rid of them. Get them out of your mind and just give me your all. Submit to me. Give me your life so that I can do my work. And it's all through you. And that's really what it comes down to, right? That's part of why we got out of the way this morning. God broke me and said, you know what, just get out of your own way. Let people refocus on me. You're here to worship him this morning. Him in our all, just like I said, the heavenly host did. And create a holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty. Let's get back this morning. Back